Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of your Holy Spirit. Thank you because you promised that he will lead us and guide us into all truths. He is he who leads us, teaching us your ways. He is the one who teaches us your truth. He is he who shows us the way we must go in order for our souls to prosper. I pray tonight, Father, that the ministry of the Holy Ghost will be demonstrated in our midst again tonight in the name of Jesus. That every one of us will be taught of the Lord. That our peace may be great in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all those who should be in this meeting. We ask that, Lord, you will help them to come in the name of Jesus. I ask for insight and utterance. I pray, Father, that today's meeting will raise us up. Every confusion you will remove in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father, because we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are welcome in Jesus' name. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about prosperity in the end times. Now, many of us have heard about the prosperity message. And I think we need to understand that God is not against anybody prospering, especially financially. Amen. But we were looking at it from the perspective of the times we are living in. The times we are living in. And the times we are living in right now is going to be very, very bad. Because all the indices show that it's going to get bad. But it will get bad before it gets good. Praise the Lord. And what is going to trigger the good is an emergence of a new system whom somebody is going to run. Praise the Lord. Now, you will never imagine that person to be like the Antichrist, because he's not going to be religious. Can you imagine Okonjo-Iweala being the Antichrist? Do you understand me? You will not imagine Okonjo. I'm not saying she's Antichrist too. I'm just saying that, can you imagine her? Because she will just be talking finance, talk about the new economic system, how it's going to run the country, how we are going to do this, and it's going to work. All the agitations of over the years, inequality, some getting more. You know, some people make billions of dollars without sweating. They just speculate on the movement of commodities, movement of currencies, movement of stocks, stocks that are not tangible assets. They are very intangible and they become billionaires. And yet, the farmer out there is poor, who puts in 20 hours of his day in hard labor. Am I talking to you? So these are the issues about this kind of economy we are running. The economy they are going to run is going to be more socialistic. It's going to be social. I don't want you to know. Socialist. Sure, you have an idea about socialist. Where everybody is going to get a fair share. But Animal Farm. How many of you read Animal Farm? The rest of you have not read Animal Farm. You should have read Animal Farm now. Where some people are more equal than others. But you are going to find this person is going to make everything equal. Hallelujah. And then men will say, this is the guy we've been waiting for. Then you say, but you see, to make sure that people are controlled, you need a number. You need a mark. You know, it will just come up with something. It is not even going to be, how will I put it now? It's not going to be as obvious as we think it is. It's not to bring your head, let me put six on your head. It's not going to be that obvious. It's going to be so subtle that many would have allowed themselves to take it, and therefore they will blot their names out of the book of life. Satan is fighting the next war with Christianity is economic. He has succeeded here. Please let me tell us. When the church started, again, let us just go down church history a little bit. When the church started, nothing could stop the advancement of the church. Persecution could not stop it. Compromise could not stop it. All manners of attacks could not stop it. But when the church became prosperous, the advancement stopped. So prosperity has always been the best way to stop the Holy Ghost. Give the people of God money, and that's the end of the Holy Ghost. You don't need the Holy Ghost again, because money answers all things. Praise God. If we had good roads, if we had good everything, we don't need to pray. Even when every rain falls, we don't need to bind rain because we have facilities. Hallelujah. But if we are doing program today, Casa, your faith will just go up. I bind that rain. In America, they don't bind rain. It's just normal. Because technology has taken care of that problem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, as he came in drenched now, we just take him to one hot room and give him tea. The guy will like coming to church. Amen. So there's a way we can capture the man's soul. Just drop money in his hands. And that tongues, the tongues he's speaking when he was poor will change when he becomes a rich man. Hallelujah. I hope you understand that. And we've talked about some of the ways by which God blesses people. Now, these are things that you've had under prosperity, but the prosperity that we've had is the prosperity of giving shall be given to you. Giving to church work is one way by which you are prospered. It's not the only way. Am I making sense to you? When your brother is in need, and you see him and you don't help him, it becomes a problem for you. Am I making sense? Now, that does not mean money will not be in your pocket too. Hallelujah. But it means that you are losing the opportunity of transferring your resources from here to heaven. It says, those who are rich in this world, but they are not rich towards God. So there are a way by which you can be rich towards God. Amen. And there's a way you cannot be rich towards God. So many are rich in this world, but they are not rich towards God. So it's good to be rich in this world and rich towards God. And to be rich towards God means you have to learn how to be generous. Praise the Lord. I think that's fair enough to talk about marriage. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to be able to talk about the whole gamut of marriage, knowing full well that over 90% of us in church this evening. So what concerns us today is how do we proceed from where you are to where you want to go. Hallelujah. Now let me start this by saying that not everyone is called into the ministry of marriage. Hallelujah. How do you know you are not called? How do you know you have the gift of celibacy? I don't know whether it is mind conditioning. I think it's the environment in which many of us live in that conditions us to believe we must all be married. Hallelujah. But I think not everybody actually has the assignment of being married. I don't know how to know, because I don't know. Hallelujah. Jesus said somewhere, he said, they were talking to him, he was talking about marriage. And he said, if then this be the case, it was an issue of divorce. So he that made them, no, and all that. They said, if it's like that, it's not good for us to marry. He said, yes, it is not given to all of you. So you can accept it. So some people made themselves Enochs. Some became Enochs. Are you with me? And some, by circumstances, were born Enochs. Hallelujah. Who that wants to take it, go and take. Hallelujah. Now, if you choose to become an Enoch, does not mean you have advantage of going to heaven before those who didn't do it. Are you with me? We follow the lamp. Hallelujah. Far, far, far. Wow. You have just wasted your time on that. The enjoyment should have enjoyed. Now you said, praise God. But I want to believe that those 144,000. Now, can you please give me that 144,000? It's somewhere in Revelation. That followed Jesus. The person that followed the lamp. Let us look at their characteristics. I know you are not liking. You don't like this message, Abby. You don't like this kind of message. I'm talking about celibacy. Revelation 14. The Bible says, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from where? The earth. Where were they redeemed from? Answer me now. That means they were human beings. They were not angels. Now, this is their qualification. These are they which were not defiled with women. For they are what? Virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the fourth fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Hallelujah. I want to believe that Paul and Barnabas were among them. Those are the little two I know that did not marry. They called themselves first fruit to the Lamb. Hallelujah. The remaining 144,000 minus two. I don't know who they are. The Bible said they were without fault before the throne. There was no guile found in their mouth. Hallelujah. So I want to believe that there will be men on this earth who qualify for that post. Amen. So the rest of us, can we talk our own now? Amen. Glory to God. So let's go to the book of Genesis. I just want you to know that there are people like that. So when you meet them, don't look at them with one quiet eye. Say, oh, enjoy. Be with the Lamb for all of eternity. That's it. They will follow the Lamb. If the Lamb moves. Do you remember Ezekiel? The Bible says that the chariot, as the Spirit of God moved, those creatures also moved. Hey, this must replace those creatures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fowl, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. In these three verses, we understand the creation of man and the institution of marriage was not man's idea, but that of God. Hallelujah. Now, please note these words. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. Pause for a while and process that statement. Let us make man in what? Our image. In other words, there was a plan to make a being called man, but they have not decided the parameters of that man. I don't know whether you're with me. We want to make a phone, but we have not designed the frame and all the issues that will go into the frame. How powerful will the phone be? Is it going to be 3G or 4G or 10G? Are you with me? Those decisions were not made, but they had made up their mind before the foundation of the earth that a man, a creature called man, must be made. Now, Pastor Thompson was speaking on Sunday. I was speaking about the diversities of the animal, the plant kingdom, all the kingdoms of creation, everything in creation. If you see the diversity, it will mesmerize you. Praise the Lord. Looking at the microbes, it's one area of research that man has not exhausted. looking at the plant life is one area men have not exhausted. They are discovering new plants every day. If you look at the fishes, you wonder what was God thinking when he made this kind of fish. I saw one fish, it's a very ugly guy like that. Very ugly. I don't know what God was thinking. There are some of them that their venom is more powerful than the black mamba. If you make a mistake and they sting you, you won't come out of that water. That's where you just come and carry your body and go. Are you with me? All kinds of creatures. And they are so innumerable. A few years ago, I was reading a document that they were finally able to send a probe, a mechanical probe, to the bottom of one of the deepest oceans of the world. I think it's either the Pacific or the Indian Ocean. Which one is the Atlantic Ocean? I think the deepest ridge is in the Atlantic Ocean. You know what they found? They were shocked. They found animal life. They found all kinds of fishes that had no eyes. Yet they were living and they were moving. Out of the bed, the bed of the ocean, the bed, when I talk about the bed, I mean the ground floor, was putting out, what's that thing called? Gases. Volcanic action was taking place. The temperature of the water there was high. Are you with me? Now, you don't expect any living thing to be there. And what was coming out was hydrogen sulfide. Hydrogen sulfide. When hydrogen sulfide mixes with water, what do you have? H2S, so forth. Now, you won't expect any being to live there. But they were there. No eyes. But they were living. In fact, they said the crabs they saw were so massive, big crabs, big worms, long worms, 6 meter long worms. You know, crazy things they never believed. And when they brought them to the surface, they all died. Because that is not the habitat. They were feeding on hydrogen sulfide. Now, look, if you have seen that thing, you must be an idiot to say you still believe in evolution. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Now, that's the diversities of it. Now, you now begin to see when the Bible says, let us make man, that means something was on his mind. They had already conceptualized man, but they had not finalized the decision on what to do with man. So they said, let us now make man in our image. That thing we decided will be man. Are you with me? Instead of us making him like, you know, the Bible spoke about a particular creature before the throne of God. The Bible says he has four faces. One, the face of man, an ox, an eagle, and if you see that kind, will you not run? But God made them. And you will meet them there. When you get there, you will see them. Praise the Lord. You must get used to these guys, because when you get there, you will not run. And you just run. They'll say, come back, where you run into? The only alternative is air fire. So stay there and enjoy yourself. Praise God. So these creatures exist. So God said, let us make man. And God said, let us make him in our image, after our likeness. So man was created not just for a purpose. Man was created to make a statement. Are you with me? Man was speaking of something yet to come. Amen. Now, the Bible says, I'm not interested in the issue of dominion and all that. It's not the issue. Can we go to the next verse, 27? And the Bible says, he created man in his own image. What did he first create? The image of man, which is the internal configuration of man. Then the Bible says, what was that internal configuration? The Bible says, God created him. And what did he do? Male and female created he them. Chapter 5 says, and he called their name Adam. Does that make any sense? Because you need to understand what happened when the Bible says, and God took out a rib from Adam. Now, I think I've counted all the ribs in my body, and I guess they're all equal. So what God was taking out was not a rib, like a rib, you know. It was separating a nature that was inside Adam. Now, Adam was not an hermaphrodite. Are you with me? I don't know what he was. But I believe that Adam could not, Adam said, God said, exercise dominion, multiply, and yet the two of them were inside one body. I don't know. Maybe God created it like himself. You know, the three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all of them living in one being. I don't know how they are doing it, but that's how he personally created them. But the Bible says that when he looked at the animals, when Adam began to name animals, God made an observation. And this is not complete. You know, after he had created man, the Bible said everything was good. But when he stood back and was watching the way Adam was naming the animals, those animals came two by two. Are you with me? God made the male and made the female. Made male and female, especially for the animal kingdom, so that they could procreate. But for man, they were made male and female, but they were all existing in one body. I don't know. That technology, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know that one. But that was what was there. Praise God. And when God stood back and saw that, there was something about Adam. There was a way Adam was like, was looking at all of them. This one has male and female. Lion, tiger, tigress, lioness, goatress, you know. God must have seen something in Adam that, Shomo, have you ever been unhappy about something? You are just, there's a kind of a wish. Oh, I wish I need to have my own. You know, I just have my own. I'm just being apathetical. Praise God. I wasn't there. And the Bible says, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will now make an help meet for him. The word meet there is very, very key. It means to qualify to help him. Not everybody could help him. He's not asking for assistant general secretary. He's asking for help. He that can help. The Holy Ghost is our helper. Praise God. For marriage, man needed an helper, an helpmate, fit for him. All the animals could help him. Because the function, the responsibility of subduing the nations, subduing the earth, requires somebody to help him. Praise God. So the Bible says they put him to sleep, extracted woman, and molded her. Praise God. And when he did that, the Bible says he brought the woman to Adam. And when Adam woke out of his sleep and saw her, everybody says saw her. That means eyes were involved. Both the physical and the inner. Shall you follow me? They must align. Hallelujah. When he saw her, what did he say? Verse 22. Adam said this. This is now bone of my bones. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman. That means the wombed man. Hey, get. She's a man, but she carries a womb. The difference, our physiology, the difference in our physiology is just the womb. Are you with me? It is that womb that makes everything different. Praise God. It's not the physical strength. Amen. Because why? She was taken out of man. How did Adam know that this creature is called woman? Who told him? Do you understand me? Who did what? Who told him? Did he go to school? Did God tell him, okay, Adam, I brought wife for you? God didn't say anything. Just, you remember, God brought the animals to Adam, and Adam named them by revelation. The name he gave them is a name which was on the mind of God, which was according to their design. And God, that was what God had in mind. I hope you are with me. So when this one came, I believe the man must have by revelation also knew the mind of God that this is what I was looking for. This is what I was thinking. Praise the Lord. And so the thing came. And so she was a good helpmate. Praise the Lord for him. Of course, we're not going into the issue of eating of the apple. I don't know who said it was apple, self. Somebody lied to us. It was not apple. We don't know what it was. Because the fruit. Amen. But listen to me. It was not love that made Adam eat fruit. For those of us who are already married, let us be careful. Don't let your wife give you fruit to eat. Praise the Lord. I say, I love you. We will die together. It's not Romeo and Juliet. Amen. The person who did Romeo and Juliet did not love survive. Don't do Romeo and Juliet. Amen. But that's just the beginning. I'm just laying that as a foundation, which all of you, I guess all of you know. Amen. Now, we know that Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just laying a foundation. I'm coming to the interesting part. The very interesting part. You know those parts. Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. Let us look at it. This man ate the fruit because this man saw what Satan did not see. Now, a man that could name animals without being taught, without being told, knew certain things in the mind of God that Satan didn't know. I don't know where you're with me. The Bible spoke about the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Am I making sense? That means Adam knew about the lamb that was slain. That was why he ate the fruit. The Bible says that Adam was not deceived. It was a woman that was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. The Bible says the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by the will of him who had the authority to subject it to vanity. It was only Adam that had that right to subject the creation to vanity. And the Bible says he did it in hope. So there were things that he knew that Satan didn't know. He knew something in the mind of God. You see, when he saw the whole creation, when he saw he and Eve and knew what they could produce, he knew that that was not the best that God wanted. Praise the Lord. He was not happy. And God gave him somebody to make him happy. He also knows that God too was not happy. And so he needed to give God something to make God happy. Do you understand the dynamics playing out here? So when he ate the fruit, he deliberately chose to fall. So that another generation can rise that will bring joy to God. That's why I tell people, may we not make that sacrifice null and void. What Adam sacrificed, eternity will be unable to unravel it. Because he saw something, and I believe in God that in our own time, we will lay hold upon it in Jesus' name. He now said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Every time I read this, I know that I'm always in trouble. Amen. You know, it is usual for a girl to fall in love. Most of times, the love that they fall into is emotional love. Praise God. But you know, God never instructed a woman to love a man. He said, man, you do the loving. For the woman, she was asked to do the most difficult part, submit. But he said, let us love them as Christ loved the church. And I throw a question to people. Can we really love as Christ loved his church? Is it for you to shout, kilo wambe, your turn will come. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. That he might do what? He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So if you want to show how selfish a person you are, let us love our wives. Praise the Lord. Verse 29. For so no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, young men, that you are saying, God is leading me, God is leading me. Are you really ready to love a woman? A woman is one of the most complex beings that God created. They are very, very complex. Very, very complex. If you are not ready, and I guess many of you are not emotionally ready to handle a woman yet. This I love you girlfriend thing is not, it doesn't cut it at all. Hallelujah. Many, somebody preached this message when I was in 300 level. When he finished preaching, I knew I was not ready for marriage. That was the end of that, my marriage program. I just canceled it and threw it into the dustbin and went to continue my bro. I don't have the time to go into the implications of what it means to love a woman. Maybe next week we'll talk about it. I don't know yet. Because you need a revelation. A woman is not somebody you win. When I say win, I'm not talking about a win-win program. You will not you win program. Amen. See, many people go for a woman like a trophy. I have gotten her. I've gotten her. I've won. Now, maybe he's a sister. She's the finest in the land. Hallelujah. And 20 brothers have revelation that you are the wife. Hallelujah. Then I was one that now got a yes. And that, we better go in that kind of, it's not like that. Praise God. No. To love a woman is to be responsible for her well-being. Eternity is in your hands. If you mess up, you throw away many things. No one, the Bible says, if you don't handle a woman according to knowledge, your ways in life will scatter. The Bible says your prayers will be hindered. That is the power of a wife. So the Bible says, as Jesus loved his church. How does Jesus love church? You know how many times many of us don't pray? You know how many times many of us don't read our Bibles? You know how many times we make promises and we don't keep the promises? Do you know how many times we get to a place and they say, you are a Christian? I say, Ebi, my Ebaija, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christian. Do you understand me? Do you know how many times you have betrayed him and yet he has not denied you? You remember when he was talking about that prophet, was it Amos? That God said, son of man, go and marry a daughter of the go and marry the daughters of the prostitution. And he married her and later had a child. And after the woman had delivered, she went back to prostitution. And the Bible says, go back and it was EP that was saying it was go back and meet her. So when you went looking for his wife, she was with another man. The man had to wait for her to finish. When the man finished and went out, he went there, collected his wife. God said, take her, go and love her again. Oh, can you do that? No. Very neat. All these beautiful, you think it's beautiful sister alone? No. Say, go and love her again. And when she gave back the second birth, they called the child's name. The guy went back, the woman went back again to continue her prostitution. And the son of man, your wife has gone. Go and bring her again. Olagbara. It is God, though. Can a woman can anger you and you can jump inside lagoon? If she nags you, Abia Barbara. If she nags you, you will just look for the nearest lake and jump inside. A woman can turn the destiny of a whole nation and akon jisojo mi. A man in the hand of, it is, look at, hey, praise God. It is before your people, you are a general. Before your wife, you are no naughty. I will toss you like this and throw you. Amen. But you need the heart of a lion. Not to tame her. The Bible says love her. You know the kind of wife Sarah was to Abraham. Sarah was a terrible woman. Won't control Abraham. No, Abraham, you're not going to the promised land. Abraham will sit down there. Hallelujah. You don't know what it meant when the Bible called Abraham Lord. She was born again. Oh, born again. Abraham, he told Abraham, this is my servant Sarah, servant a guy. Going into her, Abraham was so happy. He didn't even complain. Hey, praise God. Women are just interesting people. But the Bible says you have to love them. If you are not ready to make those sacrifices, don't put your leg inside it until you are ready. Amen. Because God, you see, when Abraham got angry, it was a woman that said, go to my servant. It was a woman that said, my sin be upon your head. Abraham stopped, went out of the house, was angry. That's what men do. Obinu, rubbish on here. I'm not the head of this house. God said, Fred, come here. Didn't you hear the nonsense she's talking? He said, she's correct. Go back and listen to her. Woman, be careful. A woman is complex. And there's no way you can win your case against your wife before God. So if you said, you didn't buy rice, you went to buy beans, just say, I am sorry. You look like Ode, but you are not Ode. You are just being smart. Because if you report it to God, let me tell you one thing, praise God. The Bible says the head of the wife is the man. Abi? The head of the man is who? Christ. The head of Christ is who? Is God. Now, if somebody's wife offends you, who do you report her to? How can you report somebody's wife to Christ? Is Christ our head? The head of the woman is her husband. Report her to her husband. Now, if the husband offends you, do you report to the wife? No. Report to the head of the man. Many conflicts in the family is when we say, I don't know what is your problem. Go and report the person to his head. Olori Ebi. When Olori Ebi deals with him, he will calm down. Hallelujah. Well, that is extra jarasha. And we continue. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his blood. 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. For what cause? That the two may become one flesh. Let me say this before I proceed. Sex was created by God, and therefore it was part of what God said was good. But it is allowed within the parameters of lawful relationships, which is marriage. The two must become one flesh. Now, it becomes a disaster when a man or a woman is jumping from one partner to the other. It is called error. Because immediately a person meets with a person, a man or a woman, their spirits becomes one flesh. Are you with me? In the realm of the spirit, they become one. Now, if you now join yourself to another person, your soul is being torn asunder. You have been distributed. And covenant-wise, it will destroy you. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be destroyed? So please note this. The Bible says, the two shall become one. And when they become one flesh, nothing is supposed to put them asunder. 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, this takes me back to when God said, let us make man in our image. There was something on God's mind that he was trying to bring forth. And so what he was demonstrating, or he wanted to demonstrate to Adam and Eve, was the relationship between Christ and the church. Every time a man goes to marry a woman, they are just simply replicating the prophecy about Christ and his church. You now see why God's attention on marriage is very, very important. Hallelujah. Every time you go against the ordinances, the rules of marriage, You are creating a confusion in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? This is just the foundation. Hallelujah. Now, the interesting aspect, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 16. If you are going to marry somebody, the word of God is very clear, especially if you are a believer. It says, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Praise the Lord. Praise to 16. Continue, let me continue 16. 15. And what accord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? 16. And what agreement are the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. From the Old Testament, God mandated every Jew never to marry a non-Jew. Are you with me? Are you with me? The instruction is not Old Testament, as it were alone. The instruction is still powerful even today, because it's reinstated here in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 16. That you, what accord as an unbeliever. Now, God warned Israel, said, if you marry strangers who have no part in this covenant we have, he said, they will take your soul away. Are you with me? Are you with me? Do you know that it is easier for me to pull the person who is up down than for me to pull the person who is down up? Never you think you can convert an unbeliever and after marrying him or her, then you convert him. It doesn't work. God will not be involved in that kind of relationship. Are you with me? You are being smart by half. You are doing wayo with God. Any person you is our Christianity, get as a be. Today is in church. Tomorrow, maybe next 3 years, you don't see him in church. Then he comes back again and it blows one fake tongue. If you marry him, you're on your own. See, I've told you testimony here of a brother. If you hear his tongue, you think an angel is speaking. The tongue is sweet. Have you had sweet tongues before? Those Reverend K's tongue is not tongue. We hear this brother's tongue. I can't replicate it, but it's sweet. My Pastor B, very sweet. But Oshia Gbereju, he now went to propose to one of the finest sisters in the fellowship. All of us carried our leg, go and meet her. And this person is our friend, we know him. But we couldn't throw everything down. But we know him. We are begging you, by the mercies of the Lord Jesus, don't marry him. I will marry him. God told me, this person, we know him well, though. We know how this thing is going. Don't marry this guy. When people who are your friends come to tell you that this person you want to marry is our friend, don't go near him. He's born again. All right. All right, oh. God will go with you. The day of his engagement, he arrived around 12 a.m. the following day. They had waited, and they had cry. They didn't arrive until dark in the night. When did they do the... Did he just went bash like they just do shak. Pretty woman. After that wedding, I think within the 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he was out of Nigeria, has gone to Canada. Till the day I speak, the baby has not seen the father. Even the daughter. 20-something years now. We are speaking on theory. 23 years now on theory. Am I speaking? My she. Oh. Whose fault is it? Who is suffering? Sister Bawoni. She ain't guru, bro. Oh, I'm guru. When godly counsel is given, don't do your hair like dog and say you will not hear the whistle of the hunter. When dog begin to forget the whistle of the hunter, that means his life is gone. that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So don't try it. Don't think it can work. It never worked. It has never worked. Me, I'm a living example. Me, my own blood sister did the same thing. I told her, this thing, you know, he said I can go, I'll be going to church. There's no need for any problem. All right. That boy took church for my soul. Took everything. Converted all of them to Catholic. My son began to do Hail Mary. I said, Kai, well, I did. Now, she said, in fact, the story is a different story. You can't cheat God. Look, if you are a non-believer, be a non-believer. Let us know how, where you are. You can't be Christian and you are loving a non-believer. That was the wrong mistake she did, that she even thought of having it. Say, but you know the word. Say, hey, Homa, but boy, love for because if I say don't marry, I declare mute to the rock and unless a wicked man marry. So me, it was like one person said I allowed a cousin to marry. Again, they said they should not marry. That means if I want to go to her, you will let me go to her. I said, what is my problem? If you want to go to her, go to her. If God in heaven is not stopping me from going to her, what is my own problem? Hallelujah. Help you with me. Don't try it. Once a person's leg or head is not steady with God. Now, I'm not talking about those who are very active in God, in church. And that brings me to the next verse. Praise the Lord. How do we choose? Now, there's a question people normally ask. The question is, who is the will of God for my life? We are looking for the will of God. Hallelujah. We are looking for the will of God. I've read the Bible. Find anywhere in the Bible that teaches that. In fact, I think that question is the wrong question. That's why God doesn't answer many of us. The right question is, who is the right kind of person? No, who is the person? Right kind of person. Because the person, you will never find the person. But there's the right kind of person that can fit you. Praise the Lord. And so Proverbs, is it Proverbs 18? Yes. Take to Proverbs 18, verse 22. Please rush. Let's rush. The Bible now says, whosoever does what? Find it. A what? A wife. Not whosoever findeth a woman, for there are plenty women. There are plenty men. Amen. But it says, whosoever does what, find it. Now, the word find, what does it connote? Search. Now, to search, what does that connote? Writings. Variety. No, it doesn't connote variety. It connotes standard. It connotes conduct. It connotes checklist. I can't be something I don't have the parameters for. I mean, just see me walking around the mokon wan kon. Kilo wa mi o mo mo shan wa. Doctor, why? Say you follow me. But okay, I'm looking for a woman. They say, what is her color? I don't know. You don't know. So how do you know when you see it? Adam saw Eve and knew this is her. This is what is on my mind. This is what I was thinking of when I was naming those animals. And God saw it. And God produced what I wanted for me. I said, that is what I'm looking for. She's a woman. So when you see her, do you know her? Don't know her because you don't know her. Praise God. You must know her. You must have seen her before you see her. Praise God. Now, it is done in the place of prayer and meditation where the Holy Ghost will begin to form certain things on your inside. Now, I'm not talking about, when I talk about checklists, please be careful. I'm not talking about the guy has to have two legs. Sorry, I beg your pardon. He must have four legs. When I mean four legs, you know what four legs means? And the height of the leg, it should be called a Lamborghini. four-legged Lamborghini. But if he has a Rolls Royce, too, not too bad. Have certain accounts. He must be as tall as this. When he swags, you know, anointing should be flowing this way, flowing that way. Praise the Lord. If you choose like that, I can guarantee you, you will cry. Not many days from hence. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Now, there are many of us, we are looking for something, we don't even know what we are looking for. There was a man who was looking for a costly pearl. The Bible says he was looking for a costly pearl. But until he found it. But you see, somebody must have told him about that pearl that made him look for it. Am I talking to you? They said there was this great pearl, and they told him about it, and he began to look for it. Praise God. Now, how does that translate to finding a wife? A wife is not just a woman. A wife is not a reproductive machine. Am I talking to you? Remember, it was not because of reprocreation that God gave Adam a wife. Because, remember, he made them man and woman, and he called their name Adam. That means they were all there. Am I talking to you? So it was procreation, not have gone to other. He said he wanted somebody that could help him, that was suitable for him, that could match his mental and all the kinds of complex thing called man. A woman that could manage Adam. Praise the Lord. So when you are looking for that woman, to you, who is that ideal woman that we will call a wife? I'll be happy to introduce her to them. I said, this is my... They may say, how can you marry this fine woman like this? People you'll be able to... Somebody you'll be able to stand with and say, this is my wife. It's not... wish married that. Are you with me? Amen. Now, there are people who carry certain characteristics that make them qualified to be a wife. They may not be like, they may not as pretty as Darigo. You'll be surprised that Darigo may not make a good wife. Okocha may not make the best husband, even though he can dribble. Because that skill does not translate to being a good husband. Findeth a wife. Whosoever findeth a husband, the Bible says, he has found a good thing. Now, the consequence of a good finding is that it will trigger favor. Everybody around you will know you made a good choice. But some people make choices and people say, okay. And they do, okay. All of my in-law. Your case has case. Amen. You will find favor. Everywhere you talk, people say, wow, you praise God. And everybody is praising God. Everybody is praising God. Everybody is praising God. But there are some people who say, do you have a pastor? You're sanctioning. When they start asking you that question, it's time to go back and pray. Glory to God. Whosoever findeth a wife. Now, amen. Let us read this scripture. 19:14. Proverbs 19:14. Hear what the Bible says there. It says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. You can inherit house and riches from your fathers, from your parents. Are you with me? But the Bible says this. It says, but a prudent wife. Where do you get it from? It's from the Lord. Now, people say you don't need the Lord. You don't need to pray. Please, that is wrong. You need to pray. Are you with me? And I think the first thing you need to do is to get the design of who the person is. Whether it's going to be a male or a female, you need a design. You need the Lord to tell you who is your best match. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? Now, when you know that, it will be easy for you to pick the right person. Out of the crowd, you will see her immediately, you know this is her. Now, she may not be the prettiest. She may not be the most handsome. But that is your best match. Hallelujah.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.